Welcome to a very special edition of EncLive On Air. I'm your host today, Caroline Seymour. EncLive On Air is a podcast from EncLive, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, EncLive covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. Today, we had the pleasure of speaking with Guillermo Garcia Manero, MD, Chief of the Section of Myelodysplastic Syndromes, Deputy Chair of Translational Research, and Professor within the Department of Leukemia and Division of Cancer Medicine at the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, to provide perspective on the current paradigm for patients with TP53-mutated myelodysplastic syndromes and acute myeloid leukemia, as well as the anticipated introduction of novel agents to the armamentarium. Combinations of novel agents and hypomethylating agents are expected to replace the current frontline standard of care for patients with TP53-mutated MDS and AML, explained Garcia Manero. Furthest in development in this regard is prenetapopt, or APR-246, which has shown promising activity when used in combination with azacitidine in patients with TP53-mutated MDS and AML. Results from a phase 2 trial conducted by the group Francophone de Myelodysplasies, which were presented during the 2020 EHA Congress, demonstrated that the combination elicited a 76% response rate, which included a 53% complete response and CR with incomplete hematologic recovery rate, and an 11% marrow CR rate. Results from another phase 2 trial of a prenetapopt plus azacitidine, which were presented during the 2019 ASH annual meeting, echoed similar efficacy signals in this patient population. Specifically, the combination demonstrated an 88% response rate and a 53% CR rate. In January 2020, the FDA granted a breakthrough therapy designation to the combination for the treatment of patients with MDS who harbor a susceptible TP53 mutation. The combination is now under evaluation in a phase 3 trial in patients with TP53-mutated MDS. If the results are positive, the combination will become the new standard of care in this setting, according to Garcia Manero. Additionally, the CD47-directed monoclonal antibody magrolimab has also shown encouraging activity in combination with azacitidine in a phase 1b trial among patients with TP53-mutated MDS and AML. The combination has since been taken forward into the phase 3 ENHANCE trial for exploration in patients with MDS. In our exclusive interview, Garcia Manero discussed the prevalence of TP53 mutations in MDS and AML and the prognosis they confer, and shed light on the development of these two compounds that are being evaluated in this patient population. What is the prevalence of P53 mutations in MDS and AML?
It's around 8 to 10%, but it depends on the population that you look at. So for instance, at MD Anderson, 25 to 30% of our patients are P53 mutated. So it depends on particular referral patterns, type of hospitals, but in the general population is around 10% or so.
And what do you think contributes to the higher prevalence in certain regions?
More than regions, I think it's hospitals. So for instance, in my hospital, we see a lot of patients with what we call therapy-related myeloid neoplasms. So these are patients that had some cancer or lymphoma that are treated for that particular disease, and then unfortunately they go on to develop a secondary cancer. Those are called therapy related. And we see that in people that are treated with chemo or radiation therapy. Because we're a cancer center, we see a lot of those patients with cancer that then get referred to us.
Then what have historical treatments looked like for these patients?
So the prognosis of patients with P53 mutations in general is very poor, but this probably has to be specified a little bit. In general, a majority of the patients with P53 mutations also have what we call a complex karyotype, meaning that their cytogenetics are very complex. So patients with MDS or AML with complex karyotype, and they can have multiple aberrations in their cytogenetic class, these P53 mutations, they tend to be very resistant to almost all forms of therapy, particularly high-dose chemotherapy. And they also have a very high rate of relapse with stem cell transplantation. Traditionally, these patients over the last 10, 15 years have been treated with more hypomethylating agent-based therapy like low-dose chemotherapy. Now, what we're learning recently is that not all P53 mutations are the same. So for instance, you can have patients with P53 mutations isolated without a very abnormal karyotype, they may have a better behavior. That's actually maybe like 10-15% of the patients. There's some recent data that particular P53 mutations, whether they are monoallelic or biallelic, they are associated with different outcomes as well. So not all P53 are bad, but the majority of them are bad, and majority of them are associated with this complex karyotype.
So then what kind of clinical research are we seeing in this setting? What sort of agents are appearing?
So over the last few years, we had two compounds that are actually gaining significant traction in this group of patients. One is a compound known as APR246 that is a drug that is directed towards this P53. So in a way, it's targeted treatment for P53 mutations. This compound binds to the protein that is made by this P53 gene. It appears that it stabilizes its function, restores some of its function, and in preliminary data, in early phase 1-2 trials, it showed a very high rate of response when combined with azacitidine in patients with TP53 mutated high-risk MDS. That observation led to actually a very important randomized phase 3 trial that was just completed a few months ago. And we expect the results of this trial at some point in the next few months. That will be, if it shows that it can improve the response rate, this will be the first time that we have an effective compound against patients with this particular mutation that, again, do not respond to a majority of the drugs that we have. There is another compound that is showing activity for this group of patients that is a drug called magrolimab that is an antibody against CD47. So in a larger MDS AML study, the data suggests that patients with P53 mutations may actually respond as well to the doublet of azacitidine and magrolimab. So basically, we have the hypomethylating agents, ASA and decitabine, that have activity here, but of course don't, unfortunately, cure these patients. But the drugs don't have a lot of toxicity, so they are commonly used. There is data with extended dose scheduling of this decitabine, let's say 10 days, with high response rates in P53. But the field is going into combinations. Hopefully, the data with the APR246 will be positive. We're really waiting for these results. Perhaps this antibody against CD47 could be another compound that could have activity here.
Now, of course, APR246 did receive a breakthrough therapy designation back in January. So if we see positive data from the phase 3 trial, will that become the frontline standard of care for these patients?
Today, if that drug was going to be approved by the FDA, absolutely. In combination with, so the drug is combined with azacitidine, so yes, absolutely.
So, of course, you know, efficacy is always an important part of the equation, but so is safety. What sort of tolerability are we seeing with the combination?
So the APR is in general well tolerated, has been reported to be associated with some mild neurotoxicity in the first few days of drug administrations. In most patients, this is reversible or can be treated. But occasionally, we have seen some cases of some neurotoxicity. But again, that's the main toxicity. The drug in itself is not cytotoxic, so it doesn't bring the counts down. So you don't see more in terms of the toxicity that you would see if this was like more conventional kind of chemotherapy.
And then just going back to the efficacy for a moment, you mentioned the high response rates that we're seeing with the combination. Do we have enough follow-up to tell us anything about the durability?
That's a very good question. This data was presented by two different groups at this past ASH meeting. One was by Dr. Salman and the other by Dr. Clouseau. And what we see is a survival duration of response that in this group of patients is kind of like parallel of a little bit less than 1 year. So again, the data that we are seeing still suggests that these patients will relapse even in the context of this doublet, but the outcome is better than expected with single agent azacitidine or decitabine. And what we're also seeing is that there is an increased number of patients that are now candidates for stem cell transplantation because they have a higher response rate and then subsequently they are going to transplantation. So these numbers depend a little bit on whether you censor for transplantation or not. There's also a clinical trial that we are not part at MD Anderson, but that is in other centers where they're using the APR post-transplant. And I think this is a very important concept because now you give this kind of therapies before the transplant and then you give some type of maintenance therapy with the compound.
Now, in terms of the phase 3 trial, you mentioned how there's different types of P53 mutations. Are patients being stratified by those types within the phase 3 study?
No, Not that I'm aware of. I'm pretty sure that they are not. There's also, we have not discussed this earlier, there's also some data regarding the VAF, the variant allelic fraction of this mutation. So some people may have a lot of mutation, some of the others may not have as much mutation.
Is there anything else that you would like to emphasize in this arena, either to your colleagues or to patients?
No, I think that we are starting to see kind of a transformative period in therapies for MDS. For sure, we've seen that already in AML, but this is also starting to come to us here in MDS in high-risk settings. So, I mean, the preliminary data with the APR has been really significant. So, of course, we need to wait for the results of the randomized trials. The same thing for magrolimab, really interesting. We need to wait for the results. But if you start putting all this together, you know, our therapeutic armamentarium for patients with MDS is starting to increase.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to OncLive On Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field and recaps from our State of the Science summits and institutional perspectives in cancer webinars. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive and OncLive SOSS. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and OncLive State of the Science Summit, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.